Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're strapping in for a pretty rough ride, actually.
We are. Our source material is this, well, intense account of a 10-day, 1,000-kilometer enduro motorcycle adventure. Think really challenging mountains, deep jungles, northern Thailand.
Yeah, and for anyone listening who isn't familiar, enduro isn't just like a scenic tour.
No, definitely not. It's extreme off-road riding, designed to push the bike and honestly the rider to their absolute limits.
Right. And what's fascinating is how the sources weave this physical, mental grind into lessons on business strategy, leadership, even just personal preparation.
Exactly. That's our goal today, isn't it? To sort of pull out those practical, transferable lessons for you.
How can battling leeches, you know, navigating slippery routes, teach you more about management than maybe a corporate seminar? Let's unpack that.
Okay, where do we start? The setup.
Let's start with the operational setup, the plan itself.
Okay, so the itinerary sets the scene, 10 days total, but it's broken down. 4 riding days, then a rest day, much needed, I imagine 3 more riding days, and then an adjustment day.
And the daily goal.
Ambitious. Around 140 kilometers a day.
Yeah.
I get this. 80% of that was off-road. We're talking highly technical jungle terrain.
Yeah.
Constant focus required.
Wow, okay. And the gear, the bikes. That's often a strategic choice in itself.
Absolutely. First big lesson right there. The author usually rides a heavier bike, a Yamaha 10 or 700, a beast.
Yeah, familiar with those. Big adventure bikes.
But for this specific mission, the jungle mission, they were all on Honda's CRF 300L models. Upgraded, mind you.
Upgraded how?
Olin suspension, so top tier stuff. Open exhaust for better breathing. Larger rear sprockets for more low-end torque.
Okay, so not stock, but still. A 300cc bike. That seems small for such a tough trip.
That's the fascinating part. It was intentional. The core advantage was lightness, maneuverability. The engine gave this really strong, predictable pull from low RPMs. Critical for tricky, slippery stuff.
Hmm. But isn't the usual thinking, you know, bring the biggest tool for the job. More power, bigger budget, more people.
That's the common corporate mindset, yeah. But the sources frame this perfectly as the advantage of smallness.
Advantage of smallness? Explain that a bit.
Well, think about it. Bringing overwhelming force, the force actually calls it bringing cannons to a knife fight.
Yeah.
Often just leads to being clumsy, slow, fragile, bloat, basically.
Right. Inertia.
Exactly. The light, controllable 300L, perfectly suited to the actual terrain, was way better than a heavy monster bike that would just exhaust the rider and get stuck constantly.
So suitability beats brute force. Efficiency and control over maximum power.
Precisely. It's a strategic trade-off. And one that's maybe hard for some leaders to grasp, but essential when failure isn't just a bad quarter, but, you know, a physical consequence.
Makes sense. Okay, let's talk about the team. The crew dynamics sound colorful.
Oh, they were. A real international mix. You had 4 Australian ex-cops, described as...
big, loud.
And measuring fuel economy in beer. Yeah, the quote was 15 kilometers per liter of beer. A unique metric, for sure.
Definitely memorable. Who else?
4 very athletic New Zealanders, 4 local Thai guides. The source says they were basically born on motorcycles and seemed to ignore physics.
The local experts, always crucial.
And then 2 Israeli riders. Now, they apparently admitted having, quote, too much gear and too little experience.
Oh.
Yeah. They rated their own skill level as maybe a 3 or 4 out of 10, despite having 0 real enduro experience beforehand. The source called it a state of, like, unconsciousness about the challenge ahead.
Okay, so that mixed the experience, the super local experts, and the, well, unprepared novices really highlights the next big point, preparation.
Huge point. The author talks about this pre-trip panic, a moment where it hit him, the trip's happening, and he's not physically ready.
We've all been there with a big deadline, maybe, that sudden realization.
Totally. And it forced this really pragmatic assessment. What do I actually need to do?
Yeah.
The source breaks it down into this 3-point plan. Really applicable to any demanding project, I think.
Okay, let's get into that 3-point plan, because this, I think, is where it gets really interesting for anyone facing a crunch time.
Right. So point 1, diet and weight loss. He got strict. Cut carbs, cut sugar, high protein, dropped from 93 kilos down to 85.
8 kilos. That's significant.
It is. And the insight is just pure efficiency. Every kilo less is 1 less kilo you have to wrestle through the mud and over rocks for 10 days fight.
So the business equivalent is like cutting friction,
yeah,
shedding non-essential stuff, bad processes, maybe legacy systems before the big push, maximizing your energy.
Exactly that. Capacity management in action. Point 2, fitness and endurance. Again, super simple focus routine, squats, abs, pull-ups.
Pull-ups from 0.
Started at 0, yeah. I got up to 9 by the time the trip started.
Yeah.
Used a 7-kilogram gas canister for weight training. Simple, effective. The whole goal was stamina for hours standing on the bike's foot pegs.
Right. Standing absorbs the bumps, gives you control. In management terms, that's leadership endurance, isn't it? Can you actually sustain the pressure day after day?
Spot on. It's not about looking good. It's about having that deep reserve for high performance under serious stress.
And point 3.
Technical skills. Not just messing around on the bike, focused instruction. The source mentions training with top riders, like Poole Terrace.
Wow. So building a specific toolkit for specific problems, and maybe overcoming the fear factor, too.
Exactly. Building confidence through competence.
And the source is blunt about this prep phase. It says it was more significant than arriving at the airport on time. Basically, make or break.
That's the so what for listeners, right? Readiness is building capability. Success doesn't just happen on launch day or, you know, day one of the ride. It starts way before. How you enter the turn dictates how you exit. Your preparation defines your outcome.
Powerful stuff. Okay, so they prepared. Now they hit the jungle. And nature rarely follows the plan, does it?
Not even close.
Yeah.
The terrain itself was the first curveball. The mud. Everyone expected slick, slippery clay.
Standard assumption for jungle mud, yeah.
But no. This Thai forest mud provided, quote, insane grip. Totally counterintuitive. So the riders had to mentally reset, trust this new reality, discard old assumptions fast.
Adaptability right from the start. But challenges still came. The author took a tumble early on.
Yep. First fall, river crossing, just low speed, hit a hidden rock. But what happened next shows the value of that diverse crew. Pete, one of the big Aussie ex-cops, just wades in and lifts the bike like it's nothing.
Huh. Nice to have a heavy lifter on the team.
The lesson there was simple. You're never stuck when you have friends on the path. Shared capacity. Teamwork kicking in immediately.
It's that camaraderie, that support network. Essential. But the jungle wasn't just mud and rocks. There was wildlife.
Oh, yeah. The source mentions enduro ants.
Enduro ants? What are those?
Described as the size of small cats. Apparently, they jump out of trees onto riders and bite like dogs.
Seriously? Okay, that's intense.
And leeches. Lots of water crossings, lots of leeches. They secrete an anticoagulant, so you bleed quite a bit.
Ugh. How did the team deal with those?
Interesting cultural difference noted. Most folks, locals included, used alcohol, like rubbing alcohol, to make the leeches detach. The Aussies, though.
Let me guess. They weren't wasting alcohol.
Apparently not. The source says they just whipped them off and would bleed for an hour. Refused to waste beer or maybe any alcohol on a leech.
That's commitment to priorities, I suppose. Okay, beyond the memorable critters, there's a key insight about problem solving in the field, right? From the Thai guides.
Yes, specifically this one guide called Monster. Big guy, tattooed, seemed to be the master mechanic.
And his approach was all about simplicity.
Totally. His toolkit was basically a utility knife, maybe a multi-tool. Yet he could fix major issues, busted clutches, broken chains, flat tires in under 20 minutes, using just what was available right there.
Incredible. What's the takeaway there for, say, business operations?
Simplicity is the best technology. That's the insight. When you're far from HQ, far from support, complex systems are fragile. They break easily and are hard to fix. Monsters show that practical, straightforward, field-fixable solutions always win.
Keep it simple, make it robust, especially far from home base. Makes sense. Now, let's shift to the internal battle, the mental game.
Yeah, this is huge, the exhaustion. The source describes that internal voice kicking in, why am I doing this? Maybe even wanting to fake an injury just to get pulled out.
The escape fantasy when things get really tough.
Exactly. But the crucial realization was, everyone feels this, even the pros, the tough Aussies, they're all struggling, maybe cursing inside their helmets.
So success isn't about not struggling.
No, it's about separating your personal difficulty, your pain, from the objective task. You can't take the difficulties personally, as the source puts it, if you want to keep performing. Acknowledge the suck, but do the job.
Detachment, professionalism under duress. And this led to something the source calls the subconscious turbo.
Yeah, this is fascinating. The first few nights, the author describes imaginary night riding. While asleep, his brain was replaying the challenging sections, practicing turns, weight shifts, braking.
So the brain keeps working on the problem, even when you're sleeping.
Seems like it. And he felt objectively better, more skilled the next day. It highlights how important proper rest is, not just for muscles, but for your brain to process, learn, and solve problems. Leaders who skip downtime might be skipping breakthrough solutions.
Don't underestimate the power of sleep and recovery for integration. Got it. Okay, let's pull out a few more of those core managerial insights that came from watching the team. First up, relative Everest.
Right, this idea that the same challenge, say, that 140-kilometer jungle route, can be almost effortless for one person, like the Thai guides, and feel like climbing Everest for another.
So the leadership lesson is?
You need a team with diverse specialists, people for whom different parts of the collective Everest are actually quite easy. You build a team for varied capabilities, not just headcount, complementary strengths.
Makes sense. And this ties into how obstacles are perceived, like the famous rope bridge.
Ah, yes. The rope bridge. It was hyped up in briefings as the ultimate test, the big, scary climax of the trip.
The make-or-break moment.
But the reality, after days of intense technical riding, fighting through the jungle, the actual crossing felt, according to the source, natural, easy, and simple.
Huh. Anticlimactic.
In a way, the training had normalized what seemed extreme beforehand. The insight, don't let the description of a challenge psych you out. Words like critical client, major presentation, board meeting, they add pressure, but functionally.
It's just another task.
It's just another technical single track.
Yeah.
If you've done the prep, focus on the execution, the steps. The hype is just noise. Don't let adjectives confuse the function.
Good point. What about the softer side? Logistics, team welfare, food, for instance.
Always important. The source notes the food was consistently fresh, simple, but good. Tailored to the mission. Light breakfast, then hearty shared lunches and dinners.
Fueling the machine.
Exactly. Eat well and correctly for the mission.
It's practical, but also symbolic. Good shared meals boost morale, reinforce the team feel, keep energy levels right. You feed the team well for the task. Simple but effective team care. Finally, there was an observation about the local work culture in Thailand.
Yeah, specifically about equality in physical labor. The author observed men and women working side by side on tough jobs, construction, road paving, even as mechanics.
And the interpretation from the source.
It was framed purely through the lens of efficiency in that demanding environment. When the work is hard and results matter, the only thing that counts is competence. Can you do the job?
Meritocracy driven by necessity.
That's how the source saw it. In the field, you need the best person for the task, period. Capability is the key feature because the mission can't afford inefficiency. Diversity happens naturally when competence is the sole criterion.
An interesting perspective derived from observation. So, summing up the trip itself, it was a success built on good choices, tough prep.
And intense focus. The remoteness, the difficulty. It forced complete disconnection from everyday noise, politics, worries, emails, just the task at hand. Ride, react, trust the bike, trust the team.
So what does this all mean, taking a step back?
Well, we started with a motorcycle adventure, right? But we've ended up with a pretty solid list of management principles. Physical prep links to mental stamina. Small, right-sized tools often beat complex ones. Shared struggle builds incredibly strong teams.
It really suggests that these kinds of intense, high-stakes physical experiences might genuinely change how people approach decisions and risk back in the office.
I think so. And the source material actually mentions the author's looking into this further, trying to see if executives who ride motorcycles operate differently.
Interesting project. So the final thought for our listeners, building on that, given everything we've discussed, the value placed on simplicity, that intense focus on preparation, being comfortable with managed risk, do you think having a background in something like extreme adventure fundamentally changes how a leader leads in business?
It certainly gives you a different perspective on what counts as a hard day, doesn't it? Something to definitely mull over.
Indeed. Until our next deep dive.